Text 1. You are going to hear a short radio program about a cultural event. Are statements 1 to 5 true, false, or is there no information? You will hear the text only once. Now, you have 20 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
Hello, welcome to Culture Vulture, your guide to cultural events in our town. And here's great news of a fascinating new event that might one day become our number one attraction. As you know, our town has several vibrant ethnic communities, and the university in particular now boasts students from more than 40 countries. Well, this summer, the Town Council and the European Students Forum have decided to organise our first ever multicultural festival. With me in the studio is the president of the ESF, Steve Lund. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Steve, can you tell us more about this idea?
Well, the idea originated at the university, really. When you've got people of a dozen nationalities in your class, you can learn so much from them. And it's such fun. And we thought it's a shame that the rest of the community isn't able to share in some of that experience.
Mm-hmm. So what will the festival involve?
We're still at the planning stage, but we definitely like to have several concerts, an arts and crafts fair, where people will be able to learn to make things like origami paper toys or raku pottery. And also a multi-ethnic fashion show, where you'd be able to see what national costumes, such as a Korean hanbok or a Vietnamese outside, look like. And, on a more serious note perhaps, we might have several lectures and panel discussions on topics to do with multicultural Europe.
It sounds fascinating. And what about food?
Absolutely. There'll definitely be food from all the countries involved, and drinks as well, including Czech beer and Hungarian wine. And we hope that with the generous funding from the Town Council and from EU funds, the food will be the only thing you have to pay for.
That sounds very promising. And I understand you've got an announcement to make.
Yes, an appeal, in fact. As I said, we're still at the planning stage, and I'd like to invite anyone or any group of people who'd like to contribute to the festival to contact us with their ideas. You can do that through the festival website, or you can just drop into our office next to the university library. You'll be very, very welcome indeed.
Steve Lund, thank you very much, and watch the website for the programme of events.
Now, you have 30 seconds to complete the task. Text 2. You will hear 5 short extracts in which different people are talking about how they try to remember things when they're studying for an exam. You will hear the text twice. For questions 6 to 10, choose from the list AF which technique the speaker found most useful when studying. There is one extra item. Now you have 20 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
Speaker 1.
For one of my degree courses, I had to learn a lot of new terms and remember what they meant. I used index cards for that, with the term on one side and the definition on the other, and I found it really useful to look at them whenever I had a spare moment. I tried testing myself too, but I'm not convinced that helped too much. The same technique is useful for giving talks, I mean using the cards, but where it really comes in useful is learning about my students. A quick glimpse now and again really helps me assimilate their details. They find my memory very impressive.
Speaker 2. I studied philosophy, so I needed both to remember the theories, but also to really understand them. What I found most useful was rehearsing arguments with myself, you know, talking them through in my head. It really helped to clarify concepts and commit them to memory. One of my mentors suggested this. I suppose it was good practice for oral exams too, and it's something I still do when I'm meeting friends who are really politically switched on. These days I probably use the technique most often when I'm preparing for meetings though, especially difficult ones. I find it really helps me to crystallize my thoughts and prepare well. Speaker 3.
I wasn't great at remembering things until I took my driving test and had to learn the road signs for the theory part. I tried writing everything down and testing myself, but I've never been much good at memorizing in that way. I was despairing until a friend suggested visualizing, making the signs more pictorial in my head, so a no-through sign would contain an actual barrier. It worked a treat. In fact, I use the technique all the time now, for everyday things. So to remember directions, I might visualize the route in my head. I'm not sure, but I think it's also made my mind a bit more agile too. And I think I'm a bit more creative.
Speaker 4.
My degree was in modern languages, and you know what I always dreaded was the oral part. My mind would go blank, and I'd really do myself a disservice. So I started to practice what I thought might come up. I'd say it over and over again in front of a mirror until I was word perfect. Rote learning, I know, but it worked for me. I'd also try to visualize myself in the exam situation, talking fluently and being successful. The method was quite useful in interviews after I left uni, but where it has really paid off is in giving talks and presentations in my job. It gives me so much confidence.
Speaker 5.
Most of the studying I've done has been content-based rather than skills-based. So, lots of facts and information to learn and remember. For me, the best way of learning these was to use mind maps, trying to make logical connections between the information. I've used visualization techniques too, but I think my brain works in a very logical way, so using that helps me assimilate the information. It can be quite good in everyday life too, even with things as basic as directions. But where I think it works really well is with problem solving. Mapping a problem and all the advantages and drawbacks of different courses of action helps to clarify the problem in my mind.
Now, listen to the text again and check your answers.
Speaker 1.
For one of my degree courses, I had to learn a lot of new terms and remember what they meant. I used index cards for that, with the term on one side and the definition on the other, and I found it really useful to look at them whenever I had a spare moment. I tried testing myself too, but I'm not convinced that helped too much. The same technique is useful for giving talks, I mean using the cards, but where it really comes in useful is learning about my students. A quick glimpse now and again really helps me assimilate their details. They find my memory very impressive.
Speaker 2. I studied philosophy, so I needed both to remember the theories, but also to really understand them. What I found most useful was rehearsing arguments with myself. You know, talking them through in my head. It really helped to clarify concepts and commit them to memory. One of my mentors suggested this. I suppose it was good practice for oral exams too, and it's something I still do when I'm meeting friends who are really politically switched on. These days I probably use the technique most often when I'm preparing for meetings though, especially difficult ones. I find it really helps me to crystallize my thoughts and prepare well. Speaker 3.
I wasn't great at remembering things until I took my driving test and had to learn the road signs for the theory part. I tried writing everything down and testing myself, but I've never been much good at memorizing in that way. I was despairing until a friend suggested visualizing, making the signs more pictorial in my head, so a no-through sign would contain an actual barrier. It worked a treat. In fact, I use the technique all the time now, for everyday things. So to remember directions, I might visualize the route in my head. I'm not sure, but I think it's also made my mind a bit more agile too. And I think I'm a bit more creative.
Speaker 4.
My degree was in modern languages, and you know what I always dreaded was the oral part. My mind would go blank, and I'd really do myself a disservice. So I started to practice what I thought might come up. I'd say it over and over again in front of a mirror until I was word perfect. Rote learning, I know, but it worked for me. I'd also try to visualize myself in the exam situation, talking fluently and being successful. The method was quite useful in interviews after I left uni, but where it has really paid off is in giving talks and presentations in my job. It gives me so much confidence.
Speaker 5.
Most of the studying I've done has been content-based rather than skills-based. So lots of facts and information to learn and remember. For me, the best way of learning these was to use mind maps, trying to make logical connections between the information. I've used visualization techniques too, but I think my brain works in a very logical way, so using that helps me assimilate the information. It can be quite good in everyday life too, even with things as basic as directions. But where I think it works really well is with problem solving. Mapping a problem and all the advantages and drawbacks of different courses of action helps to clarify the problem in my mind.
This is the end of the listening task.